All right, episode 14 of Whiskey Throttle Radio. Thank you guys so much for listening. On this episode, we'll have AJ Catanzaro on to talk all about his 2018 Supercross season, his plans for the off season, and his riding schools he has going on right now. After that, Oliver Daly, the director of the upcoming film Axel, joins the show to talk all about his movie, how he got the idea of the movie, and where you can go watch it. It hits theaters August 24th. And rounding out the show, we'll have Phil Morano from the MotoHub app. I highly recommend downloading this app. It's pretty much Facebook for motocross riders. So we talked to him about how he got the idea for this. And we do a little bench racing as well. As always, subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and check out our Patreon account. Before we get into our interviews, I just want to talk to you guys about oil. And not just any oil, I'm talking about Blood Lubricants. Blood Lubricants is a manufacturer of advanced technology, synthetic lubricants for the racing industry. They sponsor top privateers like Henry Miller and Tyler Bowers. So make sure to check them out at bloodlubricants.com. That's B-L-U-D, lubricants.com, or buyblood.com, B-Y-B-L-U-D.com, and use promo code WHISKEY for 25% off. That's right, promo code WHISKEY for 25% off. All right, showtime. Catanzaro, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Not doing too bad. Just leaving the gym. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course, man. Thank you for doing this. But hey, jumping right in, let's talk a little bit about your 2018 Supercross season. You were getting some help from the Rockwell guys. You made four mains. Take us through your season.
Yeah, it was a tough season result-wise. I think it was a big learning season for me as far as working on the mental game and working on a lot of aspects that have been weak in the past. I came into this year or last year way more prepared than I'd ever been in my life. I even had arm pump surgery. I mean, I've been Supercross track built. Like, if you had talked to me in November before the season, I was confident that I was going to go out there and be a top 12 guy, top 10 guy. And when I went out, the arm pump started to come back. I think the scar tissue started to come back, and it got in my head a little bit early on. The results just weren't coming right off the bat. Granted, it was a really stacked field right at the beginning of the season, but I don't like to use that as an excuse. I mean, I belong up there regardless. Four mains, I don't think, really portray how well I rode at some points, and then again, how poorly I rode at others. So it's, for me, it's just a matter of putting the pieces together, being prepared, and then not putting the pressure on myself. Where in the past, I've showed up for seasons that have gone much better result-wise, and I didn't ride at all before the season. But I came into it like, okay, well, you know, whatever happens, happens, and that mindset actually worked better. So it's all about the balance, I guess.
Yeah, you kind of touched on it, just kind of getting frustrated because you came in so prepared. Do you think that you kind of just put too much pressure on yourself once, you know, you weren't getting the results you wanted, and then it just kind of was downhill from there just because you were putting so much pressure on yourself because you thought you would do so much better being so prepared?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I showed up at the first round at A1. I qualified, I think, 20th out of time qualifying. I was right in front of or right behind Reed. I mean, it was not where I wanted to be even then. And I came out of that time qualifying, like, kind of pumped up because I was like, wow, I got more in the tank. Like, I was still 20th. Mm-hmm. First race of the season, I'm like, this is going to go well. And then, yeah, when the gate dropped and the races started, I just put way too much pressure on myself. It's just as simple as that.
Yeah, for sure. So were you full privateer effort driving all the races, or what support were you receiving?
So I had a bit of a funny deal, but it was cool the way it worked out. So Rockwell Racing, I was under their rig for the West Coast. I was still on my own bike, but they were helping with a lot of the logistics, and they supplied me with a race mechanic, a lot of parts and stuff like that. And then when we went on the East Coast, I had Mike at Mototape, hoping to ride the bike to each round. That way I could continue to fly in, ride my track during the week.
Right.
Very privateer in the way that, like, I was just, very limited on parts and a stock bike, completely stock bike. But I was at least able to fly into the races, which helps a lot. I don't know how some of those guys do it, where they're driving around. That's got to be exhausting.
Yeah, it's the driving from round to round, eating the fast food, because that's, you're always constantly on the road riding random tracks, not being able to ride supercross tracks sometimes. That's got to be so tough. I don't know how these guys do it. But so yeah.
Yeah, I did it 2010 when I won the Arena Cross Championship, and I was 15 years old. And for me, then maybe I just had more energy, and it didn't matter so much what I ate, like being on the road and eating junk. But it's just not possible. Now I'm 25 years old. I have responsibilities during the week and have to get home to the girlfriend and the dog and have my training sessions during the week. And when it sounds funny, but getting old, like being 25, like when I eat something bad, if I were to go eat Subway or McDonald's, not that I would ever eat McDonald's, but I feel like junk afterward. It's not that I'm worried about gaining weight, because that would never happen, thankfully, with my metabolism, but you notice the energy difference.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, I'm just a local trail rider down here in Florida, but even I notice, I mean, I don't have a fast metabolism at all. So if I eat junk, I'm gonna gain weight. But it's even just being tired. Like if I have a big breakfast or I'm on the road going to the track and only thing I can eat is McDonald's breakfast, I'm cooked for the rest of the day, because I'm just stomach ache and I'm tired. And whereas if I eat, some egg whites in the morning instead, I'd feel so much better.
Right. And at our level, and everything I do is to make me a better athlete. Even now, I mean, my summer consists of me doing these motocross schools, but I'm not on the dirt bike as much as I want to be, but I'm in the gym. And I'm, like today, I was on an hour and a half mountain bike ride. I just left the gym as you were calling. Like, I'm still going through the routine. If I'm not eating healthy, it'll screw me up.
Yeah, kind
And
of.
even my sleep, I'm a weirdo about my sleep. I'm in bed at like 8 o'clock every night.
Oh,
So being
really?
on the road, like, definitely affects you.
Yeah, for sure. Especially doing the cross-country drives. Like, I don't know why sometimes. Like, I think this year they went Seattle 1 week, and then the next week was New Jersey, which makes no sense to me, but they do it.
Oh, brutal. Yeah. Yeah, they don't care about the privacy as far
No.
as the schedule goes.
Even the pro truck drivers, it has to be rough, That's a lot. And then the next week they're in Salt Lake, which, it's even for the pro semi, I mean, that's an all week drive, I feel like, in one of those things.
Yeah, and even for the outdoor schedule, I'm pretty sure it just went Washougal, Unadilla, and now it's going back to, oh,
No.
I guess it's at Bud's this weekend. But still, it's just like the way it's kind of formatted is a little funky.
Yeah, definitely. I really want to ask you this. In last year, 2017, you rode West Coast for the Slater Skins team. And for those of you who don't know, that's the team that has all the big graphics for all the advertising and stuff. So I wanted to ask, how was it getting used to riding a bike with all the extra stuff on it?
Believe it or not, you didn't notice it. So the crossbar pad, or sorry, the whatever the. So, I'll say it, like I'm not a fan of how it looks necessarily. I think it's good from a branding standpoint that you can definitely fit a lot of space on it. I don't think many people like how it looks necessarily. So the front of it, I didn't notice when I was riding, because actually that crazy handguard looking thing goes below the crossbar pad.
Oh,
So it's
okay.
not like it's interfering with you. So it's just like riding with handguards, which is not interference at all. And then the side plates were a little bit bigger than a normal side plate, like just more plastic down there. But no, I mean, they were actually, if anything, I think they were designed to be thinner than the OEM plastic.
Okay.
So there was no issues with them at all.
All right.
In fact, I love that bike. That was probably one of the better 250s I've ridden in my career.
Yeah, I remember. I think it was Oakland. You had the top qualifying position, didn't you? I was stoked for you then. That was cool.
Yeah. Well, second, actually. No, I was first. Until the last lap, Justin Hill threw down a heater and knocked me off the top. But I was second fastest.
So you still had first gate pick for the heat. Maybe that's why I thought it was.
Right.
So
Yeah, I was first gate pick for the heat.
cool, definitely. You mentioned you're doing these moto schools, the AJ Catanzaro Moto X Academy. How's that going for you?
It's going unbelievably well, really. I've trained riders since I was about 15 or 16 years old, more private lessons and, maybe small groups of two, maybe three guys. And then I'd say 2016 is when it really started to escalate. I was hurt with an ACL or injury, and this sounds crazy. So the first couple weeks after surgery, I was like pretty heavy on oxycodone or hydrocodone, whatever the heck I was on. And usually it's kind of like a downer, and it'll just like make you want to go to sleep. But for me, it was like taking Adderall. And I've never taken Adderall, but it's just the way people describe it. I was the most productive in those 2 weeks that I've ever been in my entire life. And I just brainstormed the idea to do this academy. I built the website, well, with the help of others. I like conceptualized the whole idea. And over the past 2.5 years, the growth has been amazing. I mean, we've had, in the past couple months, I've had Adam Cincirillo, Dean Wilson, Christian Craig. I had Tyler Bowers, Alex Martin. I have Doug Henry coming up. I have Ryan Hughes flying in tomorrow to help me out with a couple of them. It's really amazing to see the response.
Yeah, and I noticed they're all over the country too, or pretty much all over the country, which is probably better because you get different kids and different riders each time, and it's not just the same Moto Academy every weekend at the local track. It's getting in touch with new riders and a new market, pretty much.
Yeah, I'm trying to expand as much as I can. The New England moto scene is really prevalent, so I do find myself in New England quite a bit. I don't want to flood that area too much with them, so I'm trying to expand as much as I can. I mean, I've had some in Australia. I had one in Dubai over the summer.
Oh, wow.
So what's cool is I'm finding locations where I want to go on vacation, and then I'm just making a couple days school and gives myself an excuse to go there and have some fun, if anything else.
Yeah, definitely. That's cool, man. I mean, how is the motocross scene over there in Dubai? Is it pretty big?
So what it is, Dubai in general is like a mixing pot of everyone that lives there for the most part, other than the local Muslim people, are just people that are implanted to do and contracted to do work for X amount of time, for a year or 2 years. So everyone that did, the person that owns the track is an American guy.
Okay.
And all the riders there were either European, Australian, or American. So I didn't, it wasn't like I showed up and there was 20 Muslim guys riding dirt bikes. It was all European, American. And the track was amazing though. Like I didn't know what to expect. I flew 14 hours halfway across the world, and I was like, well, we'll see what this has to offer. I'm like, if nothing else, it's going to be a cool story and a fun trip. But it ended up being amazing. Sold out the class, and it was a great time.
Man, that's awesome. Get to travel the world and do what you love, teaching kids how to ride dirt bikes. How does someone get in touch with you if one of your schools is going in their area?
Yeah, I'm pretty up on keeping with my the whole social networking thing, social media thing. I have Instagram, Facebook under AJ Cat Zero and AJ Cat Zero Moto X Academy. For anyone looking, you can go on the website, ajcatzero.com. I have a full list, the schedule. You can see where they are. You can sign up for them. My email should be on there. You can reach out. Yeah, I'm definitely open to scheduling more and trying different tracks and different locations. And really, the more I can bounce around and get my name out there, as far as being one of the top trainers in the world, that's kind of the goal here. So I'm gonna continue to race my dirt bike because that's what I love doing, and I feel like I'm not even in my prime yet as far as being in the best shape of my life. So I'm definitely gonna keep doing that and just growing the business at the same time.
Yeah, and that's awesome to hear. It's cool. It's doing something you love, and it's a way to make money too when you're not racing. Help you fund your privateer efforts. If you have to go that route again, do you have any plans to hit these off-season races like the Straight Rhythm or Monster Cup?
Yeah, so cool you bring that up. I would have forgot. So I'm doing for the first time ever Red Bull Straight Rhythm, which I'm pumped about. This year it's 125 and 250 two strokes only. Yeah, and I'm riding a fully custom 03 KX125, which the project we're doing and the theme we're going with is gonna I think blow some people away. And I wish I could say more, but the video, I'm going to shoot the video in Salt Lake City, September 24th, and we're going to release the video shortly thereafter, but it's going to be pretty darn awesome. So yeah, it's been a while since actually my first big bike ever was an 03 KX125. Didn't have it for long. I went to a 250F, but it's just kind of like when you think motocross, when I think motocross, and when I think like the heroes of the sport, for me growing up, it was, James Stewart and Ricky Carmichael and Chad Reed and all these guys, obviously on the two strokes. So I just think that'll be a cool, fun event. Something with little to no pressure, but at the same time, you go out and win, you can make 15, 20 grand. So pretty cool.
Yeah, I really like how they're kind of doing the two strokes only this year, because over the past couple of years, like each year it kind of gets more and more, like, I don't want to say played out, but it's not as exciting. It's kind of the same thing to me over and over again. So then last year when they had like Stank Dog and Ronnie Mack and Villopoto, I thought that was awesome. So I'm really excited for this year when it's all two strokes. And I've seen the videos of you ripping two strokes on YouTube. So you're no slouch on a two stroke, AJ.
They suit my style pretty well. As far as like having a flow and really hit stuff right and keep the momentum going, like that's my type of riding. Yeah, I have a couple short little clips on YouTube, I think, of me on a, I'm talking like a beat up, I think it was a 2001 Suzuki 252 stroke that every time I rode it, it blew up.
I've seen the scrub video. That was
The
unreal.
scrub video.
Unreal.
Yeah, so I'm excited. Like this, the video that we're gonna drop, I think, in my entire career, I've never had the opportunity to ride a, first of all, a cool track on a cool bike and have somebody legitimately filming me to drop a video that I think will blow people's minds. And I'm capable of doing stuff on a dirt bike that I just don't think the world really knows. Like watching me on TV at a race when I'm all tight and nervous is a completely different AJ than that shows up at the practice track during the week. So.
Yeah, definitely. Now I'm super excited to see it. But hey, before I let you go, Loretta's was the other week. What were some of your best results down there, and who were your amateur rivals growing up?
Yeah, I wish I'd followed it more. I had a really busy week when those guys were all down there. But so I raced Loretta's, I think, 13 years in a row throughout my amateur career. Loretta's and Mineos are the only two amateur races we did just because we couldn't afford anything else. So we chose what we thought were the two biggest ones. And I always, not bad luck, I don't believe in bad luck necessarily. I think it was a matter of me just probably just putting too much pressure on myself. Was never able to win a title. I think I got every position except for first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, you name it. The last year I went was probably my best. 2008, I was in 250B stock and mod. I got second and third overall. And that was, like, if you looked up the results from that year, it was me, Barcia, Dean Wilson, Ken Roczen, Blake Baggett, Weston Pike, Jimmy Dakotas. The list seriously was like 15 deep of whoever is in the 450 and 250 class now is who that was. Pretty wild.
Yeah, sounds pretty stacked. And
Yeah,
since,
but I
oh, go
think
ahead.
it was like, I think it's cool to see. I had a couple. What's fun is when these kids come and do the camps, and then they show up at Loretta's, and I had a couple students podium actually. I had a 50 rider that got second. I had a 250. I think he was in college boy or B class, get sixth or seventh overall. So it's just cool to see it translate and then putting the results in too.
Yeah, I'm sure it's awesome to see. It's like a school teacher having their kid, get straight A's or something. It's cool to see
Yeah,
them
right.
because you know how hard these kids work at it. So it's cool to see their, effort pay off for them.
Exactly. And I know more than anyone the feeling of everything kind of feeling like it paid off. That's why we keep doing it. That's why I still race.
Yeah, exactly. All right, AJ, thank you so much for coming on, and I appreciate your time, and good luck at Straight Rhythm. I'll be looking for you on that two stroke.
No, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
All right, have a good day. Want to talk to you guys about oil, and not just any oil. I'm talking about Blood lubricants. Blood is a manufacturer of advanced technology synthetic lubricants for the racing industry. Jeff Green has been producing high-quality synthetic lubricants since 1983 and is constantly pushing the bar for high-quality oil. Blood sponsors top privateers like Henry Miller and Tyler Bowers and offers sponsorship programs from the amateur level all the way to the pros. Racing is in their blood. Whether you're ripping up the motocross track, hitting the hills on a side-by-side, or cruising back roads on your street bike, Blood Lubricants has you covered with their 100% synthetic oil, specifically engineered for high-performance machines, and their superior anti-wear technology that optimizes wet clutch performance and keeps your engine clean and reduces varnish. Make sure to check out their website, bloodlubricants.com. That's BLUD lubricants.com or buyblood.com. BUYBLUD.com. All products have a 100% guarantee, and be sure to use the promo code WHISKEY to receive the 25% off all products. Again, that's the promo code WHISKEY for 25% off all products. All right, back to the show. All right, on the line with me right now, director of the upcoming film Axel is Oliver Daly. How's it going, man?
Going great. How are you?
I'm doing all right, enjoying a nice sunny day here in South Florida.
Awesome. I'm over here in Los Angeles, and yeah, happy to be here.
Yeah, man. Thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. Jumping right in, your new movie Axel comes out August 24th in theaters. But without giving anything away, what's this movie all about?
This movie is about an amateur motocross rider who's kind of at that point in his life where he kind of has to face up to, is he going to, pursue this as a career? How's he going to get over the financial challenges of that? How's he, going to get to that next level? And he finds himself basically stranded out in the middle of nowhere. After some people sabotage his bike, and he comes upon this military-created killer robot dog that the military basically created to replace the real dogs that are used on the battlefield today. And he sort of tames this dog using his dirt bike. He rides a Honda 450 in the movie. And the story goes from there. It's sort of a badass ET set in the motocross world.
Yeah, I remember, was it probably 3 years ago now, Miles, you had the short concept film is when I first kind of heard about this project. And anything with dirt bikes in it, I'm hooked. So I'm really excited to see it come out.
Thanks. Yeah, it's the whole motocross and dirt biking world down here in Southern California, I mean, as well as all over the country and all over the world, was sort of the starting point for me. I was a special effects animator, and I was looking for something really fast-paced and unusual to put special effects into a world that could kind of keep up with a really incredible creature. And I started to see all these dirt bikes in the back of people's cars out here in Southern California, and that ended up, I went to some races and met some people, and I was just amazed that not only had a movie not really been made about this stuff before, but how incredible the culture is, both visually and then how interesting people's stories are, doing this from when they're 4 years old, and everything that goes into the sport. So I'm really happy to kind of be at this point where it's coming out in theaters. It was about a 5-year journey all the way.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how long have you been working on this project?
A long time, about 5 years. It started kind of, just going out to tracks out here in Southern California, shooting different riders, animating a robot dog in there, just myself. And then we raised money on Kickstarter to make a short film. That film came out on the internet, and that got the attention of people in Hollywood. And then I got to write the script for the feature and shot the feature film last year. So it's been, a crazy ride, just starting from an idea all the way to something that's coming out.
Yeah, it's really awesome to see. I don't know if maybe I'm just kind of like out of the loop or whatnot with movies, but it was kind of cool to see how the short film Miles came out, gained a lot of interest. I remember seeing it everywhere. And then just recently, I started seeing stuff for this new movie, and it was cool to see that it actually, came to fruition for you. And now it's something that's going to be out, and can go watch it at my local movie theater.
Yeah, no, it's it's what I hoped would happen. But you know, the chances of something like that happening are always pretty small. But I had a lot of amazing people that were willing to help me out. And on the sort of dirt bike riding side, in the short, I had this great rider named Max Sisko that did all the stunts for me in that. And the people at Barona MX Track were great, letting us shoot there at their Father's Day race. And then going into the feature, I had Axel Hodges and his dad, Phil, and that whole family helped me out. We had a great group of racers for our big race scene. We took over this track in Piru for a few days and shot that, kind of made our own race. Tyler Behrman was also awesome. He did a lot of our special stunt work out in this junkyard where we have this great scene, where we have all this really interesting kind of coordinated riding with the robot dog and the bike, and they kind of go over whips together and you know, weave in and out of this course. Then we worked with a lot of fantastic stunt people within the industry too. So it was cool to just see the whole thing get bigger and bigger and bigger, just starting it, going out in tracks myself with my camera, and all the way to you know, a big crew with riders that I've admired for a long time. And it was terrific. I hope people really enjoyed the movie.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You talk about Axel Hodges and Tyler Behrman. You know, I'm always kind of interested in what they're doing because they're like kind of shaping the way people can make money or make a living riding dirt bikes. You know, a lot of people think it's either you do freestyle competition or you're racing pro motocross and supercross, where Axel and Tyler are kind of doing this whole free ride. You know, with social media and stuff nowadays, they're making money just out there having fun on their dirt bike. So I guess my question is, how did you kind of get in contact with them, and how'd you get hooked up with them to help you with the movie?
You know, I talked to a bunch of people, and I talked to people that were doing the supercross circuit and involved in that world. And I talked to, you know, people like Axel and Tyler. And, you know, if you're a real professional racer in the supercross world, or you're pursuing that as your sole thing, you just don't have time to be in a movie, really. It's such a serious, disciplined life. So early on, I talked to Adam Ciantarullo a lot, and he gave me a lot of insights into what the world of motocross and supercross is like, and that was super helpful. But I found in Axel somebody that just really understood how the bike and the rider and the camera interact together, which is so important for making a movie. So Axel and his community of filmers are amazing kind of filmmakers in themselves. And I think they've kind of developed this great style, starting kind of in Vine and now Instagram and Snapchat and YouTube, that really does, when you watch it, make you feel just how much fun doing this is and how creative you can be. They're always thinking of, what can we do that I haven't seen someone do with a dirt bike before? What can I set up in my backyard? And I just really thought both Axel and Tyler just had an amazing spirit that was an interesting alternative to the very serious and competitive sort of motorsports side of things. And I really like both sides of the sport, but I thought what was going on in social media there was really interesting, because people were really just kind of creating this thing for themselves. And like you say, they've really built careers through it. And, you know, they started doing something, and all kinds of sponsors and opportunities and different collaborators arose from that. I guess I'm one of those.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and you were touching on how a guy like Axel just knows how to move the bike a certain way for the camera, and just really, honestly, there's no one really better that looks better on a bike than a guy like Axel or Tyler. They're just so fluent with the bike, and like you said, for a film, they've been making a living shooting videos, so they know how to, you know, kind of where to hit the jump and do all that to make it look good on camera.
I mean, their style is unmistakable. Like, you know, when the trailer came out for the movie, people automatically knew that that was Axel doing the whips, because it's just a very, very signature kind of style that he has. And I was really happy to get that in the movie. So yeah, I think that I through them and a lot of the other stunt people that I worked with, I just gained an incredible appreciation of riding, but then also how to shoot dirt bikes, because it's actually not a very easy thing to shoot. They're moving so fast. It's a very specific kind of photography that is part of the dirt biking world, just as much as any other part of it is, I think. I met so many people that their hobby, as much as riding, is going out there with their cameras and getting great shots. And I thought that was really cool as a filmmaker myself, to see this other kind of filmmaking that has its sort of own rules and its own innovators. And I really liked talking to Axel's brother, Ash Hodges, who does the Doonies movies and does a lot of great stuff for Monster. And he's such an expert in kind of the history of motocross filming and, going back to the 90s. So I just really was happy to learn all about the world and get to make this film around it.
Yeah, I wanted to ask if you had any motocross background, or is it just, living in SoCal and just seeing it everywhere because it's so big down there?
Yeah, no, I don't. I have filmmaking background and animation background, but I kind of came into it as a fan, more than somebody that grew up with it. I mean, it's really the kind of thing that, people have been doing this for generations. People do it since they're little kids. So I listened and I learned, but I did not grow up doing it at all. Though now it'll definitely be part of my life forever.
Yeah, it's definitely, well, I've been racing since I was three or four, so I'm definitely addicted.
Exactly.
I'm definitely addicted. So, hope, it's a lot of my friends. I do a segment on this podcast where I talk to my college roommate about like the races that are going on. The kid's never watched dirt bikes in his life, but the past 2 or 3 weeks he's been watching it. Now, I can actually like talk to him about dirt bike stuff and he's actually interested. So it's, you definitely see that with people that kind of just come into the sport and they're there to stay once they, find the love for it.
Yeah, and I hope the movie does that too. I think it's actually a really, really positive thing to do, to get out there outside and to, learn to ride. And I think it's a great thing that, more people should do, honestly. So hopefully the movie satisfies people who ride, but also kind of opens up a whole world to people who don't, either as spectators or people who want to try to hop on the bike.
Yeah, it seems like it's, with the few, there's not too many motocross movies out there. It's probably because they're so hard to make, like what you talked about, just shooting it and really understanding the culture. The cool thing about this movie is that, you have the whole motocross side, so you're gonna get all these motocross people in there. But then you have the whole other side with the robotics and all that cool stuff, like the kind of science fiction stuff as well. So it's probably gonna be a really cool integration.
Yeah, it is. And I hope people like that. It's definitely not a motocross movie, but it's also not just a science fiction robot movie. It's a hybrid between the two. And it's sort of borrowing real world and fantasy futuristic elements together to make a story. So that is kind of what makes it different, and hopefully people that are fans of both those kinds of movies or those topics kind of come together and are interested in this. It's been great to work on, and we've really had great reactions from audiences who've seen it so far.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you said it a lot better than I did, but yeah. So how excited are you? I know even me, like when I did work on like a school project for filming, or I used to make like little motocross videos and stuff. Like before I released it, I used to get really excited and hope people really like it. So I couldn't imagine a full feature length movie. How excited you must be to get this thing out there in theaters.
Yeah, I'm really excited. And, when you're working on something like this, it's such a big project and it seems so far-fetched. Like, when I would go out to the track or tell people about this 5 years ago when it was just an idea, they'd be like, "Oh yeah, sure, good luck with that." And a few people would be like, "That's really cool. I think you could do this. I'll help you." But it's very satisfying and just kind of blowing my mind be at the end of this whole thing and starting up the next one after this. So I'm really excited and also just kind of amazed that we made it, because it was kind of a crazy idea to do it, and then it did happen.
Yeah, but like I said earlier, and you've touched on a lot, it's awesome to see, and I'm really excited as well to see it. And August 24th, or I guess August 23rd, midnight, it's coming out, and make sure you go see it.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks, Oliver. You enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks for the time.
All right, great. Thanks a lot, Kurt.
See you.
Bye.
All right, on the line with me right now from the Moto Hub app is Phil Morano. How's it going, man?
Good, Kurt. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, of course, man. I started out just getting a lot of riders on this podcast, but now I see there's so many other cool companies and stuff involved in the sport, so I'm trying to get those guys on too. So, that's where you fall in. So, yeah, thanks for coming on.
We appreciate it.
So you are the owner of the Moto Hub app.
That's correct.
What is your app all about, man?
The app is like a social network similar to Facebook, minus the Candy Crush requests, all the spam, all the politics, all the religion, strictly for motocross riders and fans.
Man, that's awesome. It's funny you mention all the politics and all that stuff, because I can't, you can't go on Facebook now without seeing a bunch of BS about everything, and like you said, the Candy Crush stuff. So yeah, I have the app. It's really cool. I was cruising through it today. Like you said, it's pretty much Facebook for motocross enthusiasts, man. It's awesome. How did you get the idea for this?
Exactly what you said. When the politics came out during the election and all the stuff on Facebook, I kind of got sick of it, and been a big motocross fan for years, and thought it would be pretty cool just to have an exclusive place where you didn't have to deal with all the other spam and whatnot, and just for motocross riders to get together. We got tracks and vendors on there. We got an online shop of vendors as well. So just an overall community where motocross people could go for one thing.
Yeah, man, it's definitely a cool thing. You got, as your listeners know, this podcast is all about the privateers, and I saw today that you have a pretty sweet privateer program set up. What's that all about?
We started out with sponsorship last year, and we had about 90 amateur riders and about 5 pro riders that were running our helmets and whatnot. And then last night I had the idea of, running a privateer program where we can get some funding for some of these riders. We do a weekly Q&A with privateers, mostly privateers, to give them some time to interact with users and take questions, just get the names out there. So we thought the privateer program would be perfect to try to help them with funding for Supercross this year. And basically took off overnight. We got about 7-8 riders already signed up, and we have about 4 vendors: Gulf Coast Cycle Supply, Moto Tool, True MX, myself, and we got a couple else on the back burner as well.
Yeah, it's definitely cool to see, more people helping out the privateers. I think just these past few months, I've come across more and more companies and, just all around people trying to help privateers, because they are the heart and soul of our sport. And, they're the most dedicated to it, I believe. And they just do it for the love, the same reason we all ride our dirt bikes every day.
I've heard some of these stories from a lot of these guys, like I said, on the Q&As that we do. And it's incredible, what these guys put into it. And without them, I don't think you'd have a full gate anyways.
Yeah, and definitely. And you mentioned the Q&As. Is it every Wednesday? Is that right? Or is it just sporadic?
No, every Wednesday. We started out sporadically. We fit the riders in when they had time, but we try to do it every Wednesday now, get more of a regimen so people know when they're going to be on. The riders get back to the fans again. They interact with them, take their questions for about an hour. They send them signed jerseys, signed number plates, or whatever for appreciation. So it's been working out well, and they really like it to get the recognition they deserve.
Yeah, what I've learned with this podcast that I've been doing is these privateers they're all super cool. You can tell they love the sport, and they appreciate every single fan they have. So I'm sure that they're real willing to do this Q&A, and I'm sure they love it as much as the fans do. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was agreeing with you.
How can people find out more about this? Just on the app, or do you have a website?
Yeah, it's right on the app. We started out with a website April of last year, and then we launched the app in June. So either way, you can go on there, right in the menu. It's got sponsorship opportunities. We have the pro Q&A schedule, who's going to be on when, and obviously we put that on our Instagram page as well. We have a weekly workout program we have on there, the private hair program like we just launched, like you mentioned. And a lot of cool stuff, a lot of contests. We do a Supercross giveaway. Just a lot of stuff. It's all free, free to join. And, you know, just a nice community that we've been growing nicely here.
And who are some riders you have, you know, lined up for this Q&A in the next couple weeks?
The Q&A coming up, we have Chris Canning, Kyle Partridge, Chris Aldridge, Taylor Fontaine, Nate Adams, Greg Albertson, Chris Moore, Jordan Jarvis, Rami Alves, and we have a 5-year-old Loretta Lynn's rider that we just signed on for sponsorship, Hawkins Campbell.
Yeah, it's cool. You mentioned Jordan Jarvis and this Loretta kid, as well as the pro privateers, so it's kind of cool you get a whole mix, and, you know, just the average person can go in there and talk to, you know, whoever they want. I know Rami Alves, he's from South Florida, from my area, so it's definitely cool to have him on there, and you know, I think everyone's kind of got that hometown privateer that is representing their area.
Yeah, they love it when there's somebody from their area, for sure.
So more about you, Phil. What's your motocross background? How did you get, involved with the sport?
I started out, my son was racing ATVs back in 2004, I believe it was now. And, you know, I was obviously a mechanic, and we went all over to up and down the East Coast to Nationals, et cetera. And when we were doing that, I started a company called Get Dirty MX, which was an apparel company, and just to help with, you know, the funding of his riding as well. Mm-hmm. After running that for about 7-8 years, we had some great pro riders on board, Ricky Renner. We ran with Chad Weenan. My mom had passed away, and I decided, you know, I was kind of done, and, you know, I needed to focus on my family. My son wasn't racing anymore, so I sold the business off to a couple in Kansas. About 2 years later, when I got the itch again for motocross, I started up the Moto Finder app, which is an app to locate tracks and shafts in your area based on geolocation services. And again, we ran that for about 2 years. A guy in Australia offered to buy it, couldn't really turn it down, and, you know, off that went. And like I said, once the election came around, like I said, I've always had a passion for this sport. I like helping people. I like being involved in the sport, whether I ride or not. It's just a great sport. It's unlike any other, you know, baseball, NFL, any of that stuff. The people are great. So that's what, you know, brought us to the Moto Hub.
Yeah, you know, I couldn't agree more. And like you said, you got that itch again to start something else, to get more involved in the motocross community. It's funny, man. I've tried to quit riding before. Just, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm burnt out. I don't want to do it anymore, you know. And
yeah,
3 weeks later, I'm like, all right, I need to go ride. So, I feel like you don't really get that with any other sport. I think it's, you know, kind of solely to motocross. And the passion that we all have for the sport is unique.
And like I said, they're great people. I mean, I've got more friends up and down the East Coast than I do in my own town. You know what I mean? It's just a lot of great people out there.
Yeah, you know, I race in like a statewide organization, and I consider like half, there's like 3,000 members, and I consider half them like my family because we're so close because we all share this passion.
Now that's what this sport does for you, for sure. Like I said, you've tried it as well. To get out of it is easier said than done, you know. I always end up winding back up with it, and like I said, I just love it.
I'm going to put you on the spot here, Phil, but sure. Does Eli Tomac win this title, or do we see him have a breakdown like we did in the past?
Well, it's hard to say. I think he really wants this one, and as long as he stays healthy and off the ground, I think he'll be fine this year.
Yeah, and so I see you're from Connecticut, right? Is that correct?
Correct.
So you, Southwick, that's your home track?
Yeah, it's pretty close, the closest track. Yeah, Walden MX was another one up in New York. We used to race that as well.
So who was your idol growing up? Or who's, like, your favorite New England Ripa, like John Dowd and Doug Henry?
I've seen John Dowd. I like John Dowd a lot. Doug Henry was great. Doug Henry, we actually lived in Oxford, where Doug is from, or grew up as well, and we have a lot of friends that know Doug. Great guy. And, yeah, I'd say those guys are the best. And, obviously, you know, Villopoto, huge fan of Villopoto. And I'd say today it's hard to tell. There's so many guys up and down, but Tomac seems to be the one to follow along with these days.
Yeah, you know, I'm really interested to see if Roczen stays healthy this off season, how much work he can put in, and how, because, you know, coming into this Supercross season, he still wasn't 100%. So I want to see the, you know, the battle between Tomac and Roczen when they're both 100%, and, you know, even Moose can get in there too.
And that's the thing amazing about this sport. You see Roczen and the privateers. I've heard about injuries that are so intense and the broken backs, and these guys keep coming back. It's just amazing. You know what I mean? It's great. It's really great.
Yeah, I had I had Chris Aldridge on the show probably about a month ago, and he was telling me about his all his injuries, like all the broken vertebrae, broken back, broken hip, you know, you name it. And we must be hard-headed or something, because I don't know any other sport that would have someone in any other sport that would have all those injuries and then, you know, be itching to get back at it. You know, usually they would want to take a break.
And at the privateer level, because they're doing it on their own. They're funding it themselves, and they're just back at it. It's just crazy, you know. It's good, but it's crazy, you know.
Yeah, Chris was going to drive all the way from he ended up wasn't ready to come back, really, when he tried at Washougal. But he was going to drive from Washougal all the way to New York, you know, on his own dime, just because he wants to race his dirt bike at the highest level. And, you know, you got to respect that.
Yeah, that is a lot, because you see a lot of these guys don't do a lot of outdoors anymore because of the travel alone, you know, the traveling and the funding, obviously.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, man. It's a bummer to see, because I personally like outdoors better. You know, it's like that's motocross. You know, like that's like the whole. You know, that I grew up. Everyone grows up racing outdoors. No one really grows up racing supercross. You know, so that's like the grassroots, and it's kind of a bummer to see. The payout isn't good in the outdoors, and it's so hard for these privateers to travel the whole country, and it's so hard on the bikes. So you know, I kind of wish it would be more like supercross, and they kind of give back to the riders a little more.
I think you see more supercross. People are winding down in the winter. Everybody's hunkered down, and obviously gets a lot more television time as well and better coverage. It's just tough to watch an outdoors for me. You know, you got stuff going on in the summertime, but the coverage, you only see to the top two to 10 guys if you're lucky. You know, where supercross, you're seeing the whole field. So, I mean, I like both, obviously, but, you know, supercross definitely a favorite.
Yeah, like you nailed it down. You know, I'm from Florida, so it's hot and sunny year round. But yeah, up north, like there in January and February, there ain't nothing else to do but sit on the couch and, you know, watch dirt bikes every Saturday night. Whereas in the summer, it's on during the day. It's on two different channels. It's 4 hours long. And it's summertime. You're out, you know, doing stuff. Because in the wintertime, you really can't, because you're snowed in everywhere.
I mean, we notice the same thing on the site as far as, you know, people coming on and when they come on and stuff, especially with the Q&As too. It's tough because, you know, we got kids playing baseball and other sports and racing. So to get everybody on in one night is kind of tough. But wintertime, it's pretty hopping.
Really? Okay. That's interesting that, you know, and it makes a lot of sense. Well, Phil, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. And I encourage everyone to check out the Moto Hub app. It's all dirt bikes, no Trump, no Hillary, just dirt bikes, right?
Hey, you got it.
All right, man. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
You have a good night.
You too.
Straight caught up in the game. My life won't be the same. Straight caught up in the game.
Living the life, that's how I live. Try to get out, tell me how to survive without my crew. Armani's, Ferraris, casinos, hitting jackpots. Good luck, I think not, we own the car from block to block. City to city, all day, every day. It's like a celebration for the criminal nation. Himido, wife and kids, that's what I need. Wanna go out like a man, try to understand without blood on my hands. Dear God, please save my soul. I put the rest on hold, not seven. I still got time to reach heaven. 1 million reasons to get out, choose one, there's only one. To put the 9mm to you don't, then you gone. Did I do right or wrong? Tell me. I might drop some tears from my eye, but you never see me cry. Champagne, spit rhymes like crazy insane. LA to Stocktown, different players caught up in the same game.
Am I right or am I wrong?
Straight.